Well, good afternoon and welcome to our latest Sheffield United transfer window Q&A, where we finally have a signing to talk about. Danny, Adam Davis is in the building. Good news?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, in terms of it, Phil's talking about this for what seems like forever, doesn't it? It's Phil's a problem position. Obviously, United needed a goalkeeper after Robin Olsen went to Aston Villa after his loan was cut short. You know, United would have been, with all respect to Jake Huswood on the bench, you know, if United are serious about getting promoted this season, going with him and Wes as his backup, you know, probably wouldn't have been the most sensible thing. Can I say that with all respect to Jake and his career, which far eclipses my own football career. But United needed a senior, recognised goalkeeper to kind of give that serious competition to Wes, because I think a lot is always spoken about players, backup players covering for injuries, but I think there has to be that sort of competition as well, because Wes will now know that, you know, his place is under serious threat. He has to go out there and perform every weekend, which, to be fair to him, he has done in recent weeks. I think he's been brilliant, and he will deservedly be the number one from now on until that changes. Again, there's some genuine competition there for his place now. So from that point of view, I think it can only be a good move.
Just on that, obviously Davis has been playing at Stoke. Do you anticipate then that Fotheringham will stay in goal for now, at least?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I think that's right as well. I think, you know, you can't run a culture of saying, you know, you have to perform to keep the shirt, and then when a lad has been performing, don't give him the shirt anymore. You know, just in basic terms. And Wes has done, you know, nothing to warrant being dropped. Some of the saves he's pulled off have been brilliant. You know, he's been commanding in his area. He's pulled off, he's made saves when he's had to. I can't think of a goal in the league that's been, you know, directly attributable to him. There was one at Wolves when he had a slight dodgy moment. But on the whole, I think he's been very solid. And I'd have no qualms with him being the number one. That all might change, and then Adam will know, and Wes will know as well. You know, they've both been around the block for long enough without pensioning them off. They're both experienced goalkeepers. They'll have been number one, they'll have been number two, they'll be chasing, they'll be trying to keep the shirt, and they'll know, you know, how it all kind of works out. So Adam will know he's got a fight on to get the shirt, Wes will know he's got a fight on to keep the shirt, and then if it does change at any point in the season, Wes will know that he has to do everything he can to get that shirt back. So in terms of competition and, you know, for places and cover for, you know, a really key position, I think it's a good signing all round.
Yeah, it was nice to see that reference from Michael O'Neill to essentially say this, it's got nothing to do with football, really. It's because he's done very well at Stoke when he's played. It's more about just freeing up the budget elsewhere to do some more business at their end. But do you think that's part of the reason why he signed a short-term deal initially, Davis? Because obviously he may play, but he may not. We might not actually see him this season.
Yeah, and, you know, without, you know, talking out of turn, I imagine the people at United would hope they'll never see him, because that'll mean that Wes is, you know, keeps performing, doesn't get injured, doesn't get suspended, doesn't get COVID, which of course is a big consideration. Possibly not as big as it was a few weeks ago when games were getting called off left, right and centre, but it's still a, you know, consideration. No one knows when it will come back, if it will come back in, you know, such a fashion as it did a few weeks ago. So, yeah, there'll be people at Bramley who hope they don't see Adam. You know, that'll be no reflection on him or his ability at all. It'll just mean that, you know, if Wes is performing and, you know, keeping the ball out of the net, there'll be no need for Adam to play. And that'll mean that United are picking up points. So, I expect it'll be extended in the summer. You know, I think a lot of people are saying it'll give him a chance to look at him. You know, but as you said there, he's been a player who's played most of the season, or some of the season. Well, Heckingbottom knows him well, obviously, so there'll be no need for him to kind of prove himself to Paul. So I'll be very surprised if that doesn't get extended at the end of the season. Obviously, he's only 29. He's sort of not quite a baby in goalkeeping terms, but he's also not exactly a pensioner in goalkeeping terms either, is he? So I'd be surprised if that doesn't get extended past the end of the season. But it just gives United a chance to get him in and sort of assess things assess things at the end of the season, because, you know, there's still that carrot dangling, isn't there? No one knows where they will be in the summer. You know, they might be fishing in a slightly different pond, and you know, United will be hoping that's the case come, you know, the end of May.
Touch wood. Well, it's nice to see Hecky sort of putting his own stamp on the squad as well. I've got to ask you this. You reference this, not me. He had a spell on the dark side, you said. do you think fans will care that much, especially given the fact that he didn't actually play?
No, I don't think so. I think the days I've had their piece with Derek Geary a couple of weeks back, and I remember when he first came in after a longer spell on the dark side and then a short spell at Stockport to kind of clean himself a little bit. And he still got booed as he was warming up on the touchline. He was warming up with Billy Sharp and got booed by the United fans. I don't see that happening with Adam, as you said there. I don't think a lot of people would even know he was at Wednesday. You know, I think he was there for a couple of seasons and didn't play a game. So I think we'll let him off. I think we'll let him off for that one. Obviously, you know, the manager played for Wednesday. So, you know, no one's perfect, are they? You know, in a career, you know, as varied and as long as football is, you know, there's bound to be the odd anomaly, isn't there? And, you know, I think we'll let him off with that spell on the dark side, I think.
Just a reminder, we're live on Facebook, so if you've got any questions for us, Danny in particular, just get them in. Two centre-backs have been linked from Liverpool, Reece Williams and Nat Phillips. It feels like Reece Williams, the younger of the two, who's been with Swansea this season, is maybe a little bit more realistic.
Yeah, I think so. I'm glad you said that he's the younger of the two, because I don't know if it's just me. I was writing stories about them both yesterday. I was absolutely convinced I was getting them mixed up. And I didn't quite know which one was which. But yeah, you're right there, I think. Both are targets. You know, I did a story on both yesterday, and the sort of social media feedback was that one was out of United's reach and one was a lot more attainable. But they are both players of interest. You know, Williams, like you said there, he's been out already this season. Didn't quite go to plan for himself or for Liverpool or for Swansea, I think it's fair to say. I think he played 7 games, 5 starts from memory. But that's just the lot of a young player out on loan, isn't it? We've seen it before with young players who have come out from top clubs. Ben Woodburn, who came from Liverpool a few years ago with a big kind of reputation, a big pedigree, that was seen as a big signing. And it didn't work out purely because the players in front of him were performing that well. They couldn't get in the team. It's like we said earlier with Adam and with Wes. You know, it's all right coming in. If the lad in front of you who's got the shirts performing, then you can have no sort of claim to it, really, can you? Because he's doing his job. You're pushing him and pushing him and pushing him. But if he does what he's supposed to do out there on a Saturday afternoon, you're not going to get in. So that can happen sometimes. That's no fault of anyone's, really. That's football. And I think Liverpool will probably understand that as well. So he has been out there on loan already this season, so there's a pathway there. And, you know, both lads will want to play games, won't they? After you've had that taste of senior football at a club like Liverpool, I think you'll be desperate to get it again. It's fair to say, again, with respect to those two boys, they're quite far down the pecking order at Anfield, which is no disgrace on anyone, just with the sheer number of centre-halves they have now. So they'll be desperate to get out and taste that senior football again, you know, playing for points on a Saturday rather than playing 23s football. And yeah, both are targets, but as you say there, I think one is a lot more realistic than the other. I know Phillips is reportedly a target for Newcastle. I think if they come in for him, and, you know, it's a choice between playing for Newcastle and playing for Sheffield United, with respect for United, that won't be much of a choice for him. But, you know, there's always that chance that permanent move doesn't materialise, and then I suppose Liverpool and the player have a choice between, you know, go to Sheffield United for 6 months, hopefully play games, get first team experience, or be stuck behind Van Dijk, Matip, Gomez, you know, Konate, all the other players at Liverpool. It changes things a little bit, doesn't it? So United will be hoping to get, you know, one of those. Obviously, both won't arrive before next week's deadline. They're both realistic targets. And yeah, if they can get one of those over the line, I think that'll be a good addition.
Yeah. And you mentioned, you touched on it, timescales. I presume we're not expecting anything before Saturday.
There's always a chance, but not expecting it as things stand. You know, the wheels of transfer activity at Bramall Lane tend to move fairly slowly these days. I think it's fair to say, you know, the first signing was it yesterday, 25th of December. So, you know, the wheels tend to move a little bit slower these days. And, you know, it's not just a case of going to a club saying, here's the amount of money you want. You know, we're signing this player. It's, you know, it's a little bit more of a complicated process when loans are involved. You know, there's a lot more things to consider and things take a lot more time. So as things stand, I wouldn't expect anything before Saturday, but with the caveat that, you know, things can and do often move very quickly in this game. So don't all be writing into me if he does sign on Friday, calling me all names under the sun. So there's always a chance, but I wouldn't be surprised either if it dragged into next week before the Monday deadline, I believe.
11 p.m. Monday night.
11 p.m. Monday, yeah. So, yeah, keep it. That'd be no surprise to Sheffield United fans either. We're used to kind of, you know, always staying up till 11 with that little bit of hope. You know, it's the hope that kills you, isn't it?
Yeah. Lewis Perkins asks, Jeppesen seems to be doing all right on loan. Would you be looking at recalling him or keeping him at Burton for the remainder of the season?
Personally, I'd keep him out there for the rest of the season, purely because of, I've said this from the start, you know, this is why he ended up going to Burton in the first place, the sheer number of strikers that United have in front of him. I know one's gone in Ollie Burke, but there's still five senior strikers in front of him in terms of seniority and age and experience. It's a different question whether he should be above certain players in the pecking order. I think that's a different discussion and a fair one. But it's got to be balanced, hasn't it, between bringing him back, seeing him in training, giving him the odd, possibly 10 minutes from the bench here and there, versus keeping him at Burton under Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, who was obviously a top striker in his own right, or was a top striker in his own right, sorry, and kind of learning from tricks of the trade. You know, Jebbo's got on record saying that Jimmy does extra work with him after training sessions and gives him pointers in games and stuff. And that's sort of invaluable, isn't it, for a young striker to kind of learn his trade and keep him playing and scoring goals. You know, I think he's got 9 for the season so far in 20-odd games. You know, a few of those will be from the bench. It's a good record. And he is, ironically, the kind of player that United would be targeting if he wasn't already their player, I think, in terms of, you know, young, hungry, impressive young striker. So personally, from my point of view, if I was the manager, I'd keep him where he is. Just because of the players in front of him and giving him that pathway. And I think playing games is always preferable to, you know, watching from the bench or in the stands. I think that will change dramatically in the summer when a couple of those strikers possibly will move on. At least one, who I think we'll probably talk about shortly. For his weekly appearance on the podcast, and then, you know, looking forward, the future, you know, with Brewster and Jebbo and Ollie McBurney, who's still quite a young man in football terms. You know, I think the future looks quite bright in the striking department. But yeah, to answer the question, I would keep him there, and I think that is what will happen unless something dramatic happens in the last few days of the window.
Yeah, just another quick question before we go on to the inevitable period of Lise Moussa. Justin Rice thinks that Phillips and Williams are unattainable. Sean Bliss says the defence needs sorting. Many points dropped because of bad defending. Bringing in these kids is just a cheap option. As far as we understand, these guys, these are the only targets that we know of at the moment, aren't they? Phillips and Williams.
Yeah, there'll be a list of, you know, they won't be the only two because, you know, again, Paul and his recruitment team are far too experienced to kind of put all their eggs in one basket. You know, there was a list at the start of the window that had John Souter, James Hill's names on them. And then we understand that sort of mid-window, the shifts kind of changed from permanent acquisitions to loans just to get through to the end of the season, which is where, you know, Phillips and Williams have come into the discussion because there's no way of signing those on a permanent, you know, where Sheffield United are at the minute. I think that's fair to say. As for the cheap option, I think, you know, these two lads will be on a fair few quid, and, you know, they'll cost United a fair few quid as well. I think it's a sometimes loans are seen as that when, you know, I think if you actually dig down into the numbers in terms of loan fees and contributions in wages, sometimes they're anything but. You know, I heard people say that Robin Olsen was a cheap option, and you know, when you look at the money he was on, that Sheffield United were paying for his contribution to his wages, you know, it was a staggering amount. That's the only worry for me in terms of Adam Davis's signing. This is no reflection on Adam at all, and I think you can kind of separate the two issues in that he's a good signing for what Sheffield United need, but for the long-term future of the club, you know, you've gone from, you sold your keeper for 20 odd million quid, and you've replaced him with, you know, a player who's cost a normal amount from Stoke. So, you know, for the long-term future of the club, I think that says a lot about their, you know, where the future may be heading. But yeah, I think it's a fair point that Phillips may be a little bit unattainable if, as expected, some of the clubs who were supposed to be interested in him do follow up that interest. Williams is possibly a little bit more, you know, of a realistic signing, if I've got those two the right way around.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I think so, yeah. The younger of the two.
Yeah.
We'll go with that. The young one is a more realistic signing. I don't know what it is. I have some kind of mental block with those two defenders. I think it's watching Liverpool, and I kind of look at them as a...
They kind of a duo, because obviously they're in a team at the same time.
Williams is possibly the more attainable of the two. But yeah, you know, they're both targets, and we'll see what happens, you know, between now and the end of the window.
Lys Moussa. So the latest, as we understand, he's staying put now, for now anyway. No offers at the minute. I mean, we've sort of spoken at length about him. Do you anticipate that? I mean, I don't think we're going to be seeing him this weekend, because of obviously these ongoing fitness issues. But, well, I guess as long as he's a Blades player, we might still see him in a red and white shirt at some point.
It's down. I suppose the situation's not really changed since he first came in. It's down to him, isn't it? It's entirely down to, there's nothing more that really can be done for him. I think it is, you know, balls in his court now. But if he wants to, I've said this for a couple of years now, if he looks back in his career in 10, 15 years' time, he could be two polar opposites. He could have had an unbelievable football career because of the sheer talent he has, or he could look back at it and go, I was going to say a rude word then, I squandered it down the drain, if that's a phrase. I squandered what I had because I could have done more. And it'd be a real shame if that is the case, because we've said this several times. I think Lys gets a little bit of a reputation sometimes, but he genuinely is a really nice lad, you know, to speak to, and he's a personable kid. And for whatever reason, the penny just doesn't seem to have dropped so far. If anyone follows him on Instagram recently, maybe that is changing slightly. He seems to be working out a hell of a lot and in pretty decent shape as far as a picture of him today would suggest. And yeah, whether he does leave this summer or whether he possibly does turn things around and extends his stay is all down to him and what he does between now and the end of the season. You know, if he comes back in decent shape and has a good run at it, United may look at it and think, you know what, we have an asset on our hands. You know, we understand a clause in his contract to extend it by another year. That's been the case with every other United player United have signed. So it'd be an anomaly if that isn't in Lys's contract. If he comes back fit and firing and scores a few goals between now and the end of the season, United may well take that up. If he doesn't, then I think we all know which way it's going, because, you know, they're not getting value for money at the minute in terms of his wages. He's not earning because he's sat at home or he's in the gym or whatever, and he's not playing on Saturday afternoon, which is what he's being paid for. So, you know, it wouldn't be the biggest surprise if he does leave at the end of the season. But I think the football romantic in me kind of hopes that he does come back between now and the end of the season and kind of does have a go at things, because we saw in the Premier League when he is fit and firing, you know, he's probably United's most dangerous striker in terms of he's everything United have been crying out for a few years now. He's quick, he's pacey, he's quick, he's strong, he's powerful, he can finish, you know, he has everything, you know, but something seems to be missing there and it's not all kind of come together consistently. So I think it'd be a real shame if he does leave. But as you know, it also wouldn't be the biggest shock in the world. So as I say, it's down to Lees between now and the end of the season. Which way does he want it to go? And again, we can talk about it at length. We will talk about it at length, I imagine, between now and the end of the season. But, you know, it's on his shoulders, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, we'll leave the Lees Moussa show there. Thanks very much for listening. Thanks for your questions and comments, and we'll be back on Friday with our regular podcast.